This week's mailbag comes to us from Babs. Dear Lisa, I am so excited to receive the new planner. I didn't think I would be making much real progress until I re-listened to the May Planning Day audio and really reviewed the current planner. Amazing. And reading The Secret History of Home Economics should be required. I'm an old soul, grateful for many blessings. Have always been quote-unquote organized, until Organized 365 made me take a real look at how I was organized. Even my husband, who isn't well, is doing things like going through his desk, discarding old papers, looked up all the electronics information for the binder, etc. Organized 365 makes a real impact on your thinking. And I've discovered I do like to think and organize and plan for whatever is next. Thank you for your energy and spirit and optimism.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Do I, or don't I, have ADHD? Now it's even more confusing than it was before we started. Now I have a medical diagnosis of ADHD, but I have a functional non-diagnosis of ADHD. So did I ever actually have it? I wanted to know. Why, Lisa? Why do you want to know? You're successful, you're healthy. Like, why am I still beating this horse? And the reason why is because of what Keith told me at ADHD Online. He said that to get an ADHD diagnosis as an adult can take 9 to 12 months. And I know many of you have been telling me that you are pursuing your own ADHD diagnosis and how long that takes. And so the ability to get a medical ADHD diagnosis in a couple of days through ADHD Online is very, very helpful. Just to even have a starting point. And I will tell you that I know people who have already gone through the ADHD online assessment who have a diagnosis of ADHD, and ADHD online is actually saying that the symptomology of what they're experiencing right now is not actually ADHD, and it's actually anxiety and depression. And when these people I know have been actually medicated, treated for anxiety and depression, all of the symptoms that they were attributing to ADHD are going away. So I just want to say that this isn't like, how do you get on drugs for ADHD? That's not the purpose of this at all. And also, when you're talking about how your brain is functioning, how you're doing basically in the world, how you're feeling in the world, there's no blood test for that. There's no easy button. Like, this is something that you have to really dive into. So again, why in the world would I be diving into this when I'm not depressed, I'm not anxious, I'm not producing? Like, why? And part of my reason why is because I have the time and money to do it now. And I also think that I want to go through this entire journey on the podcast for those of you that either don't have the time or the money or just want to know, like, what would this look like if I did this? So medical diagnosis, we've got it. Executive function panel, that's going to come back into play in the next podcast where I talk to you about the research I want to be doing. So you probably have already Googled it. You're trying to do the brief. Just hold off. We're going to have a whole research study. I'd love to put you into my trial. So just hold off on that. But I do need to know, like, honestly, I don't want to tell you about ADHD Online as a resource if I don't think it's a good resource. I don't know if you've noticed, but I hardly ever recommend anything. Like, I like onion rings and to shop at White House Black Market. But other than that, you really don't know my buying habits or where I'm spending my money. And let me just tell you, I spend money because I don't want to influence you in ways that are not helpful. So if I've mentioned a resource like ADHD Online, I've done my due diligence, and meeting with this psychologist was finishing doing my due diligence, because if what she said conflicted with what ADHD Online said, I would not send you to ADHD Online. So that's where we are starting. Why? The second reason why is because I do want to do research, because I do feel like we can change everything about us. Like everything about us, I've said this before, every single cell in your body is different every 7 years. That's how long it takes for bone cells to replenish. Skin cells, you know, they replenish every day. So 7 years from now, you are literally completely a different person than you are today. Like every single cell in your body will have changed in 7 years. Like we're constantly changing. And you can change your health history. Sometimes medication is needed, but sometimes your environmental changes can change. And so my real question is, if we learn the skill of organizing, if most of your executive function is organization related, and you can learn the skill of organizing in each phase of life, then can you mitigate and eliminate the effects of ADHD? Like, that's really my big question. That's my big question. But in order to answer that big question, first I have to find out, like, do I even have ADHD? And if I did have ADHD as a child, is the fact that I have continually evolved and learned how to organize my brain helped me not have the negative ramifications of ADHD? Let's move on. So, contacted my colleague and friend, someone I've known for 15 years. So she's known me as a parent. She's known me as a speaker. Like, we don't go out to lunch. Like, we're not best friends, but when I reached out to her, she knew exactly who I was. And I was like, hey, I would like to know if I have ADHD. And she's like, why? Why do you need to know if you have ADHD? You're very successful. You definitely don't have it. And I was like, no. I just got a diagnosis of it. She's like, I don't think that diagnosis is right. That's what she said. She said, I don't think that's a correct diagnosis. And I'm like, why? And she's like, there's no way. You're way too successful. You're way too put together. Like, I don't see any negative ramifications of ADHD. And I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me that if I had an ADHD diagnosis, I would not have been able to overcome it on my own? She goes, no, because you never did therapy. You never did medication. You never did anything the medical community has to offer you. And I was like, yes, but I have taken courses and read books and gone to seminars like it is my job. Are you saying because I went outside of the medical community that the transformation that I made in my brain and my mindset means that I never had the diagnosis to begin with? And then she was like, but you don't have, like, you're so put together. Like, there's nothing not working for you. So when I started asking you guys on Instagram and in the app, do you think I have ADHD? Here is a comment that was made that is exactly what she's saying. This person says, 100%. So I don't know you. I've just been following you for years and your business, maybe a decade. And from what I do know about you, I could tell it would be extremely difficult to pin down. You are highly motivated. You could set goals and achieve them. You seem to have very high executive functioning. However, it could be that you learned and developed these skills to mask any deficits you were having that kept you from reaching your goals because you're highly motivated. My son with ADHD has always had low executive functioning. I'm trying to teach him the skills he can use to overcome that. He's just not motivated to do it. It's me. I'm motivated for him, which isn't going to work. He has to want it. So I'm really looking forward to this month and the information you find out about your journey. I can't stop thinking about the day when you were showing the papers from middle and high school that had misspellings and backwards words and the concern about dyslexia. Seemed very clearly dyslexia that was never diagnosed. So that is, she's commenting on the day that I'm about to walk in and talk to this psychologist. You can still see these videos in my Instagram highlight under ADHD. I'm sitting in the parking lot. I'm ready to go in. The psychologist said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to review the ADHD online diagnosis. I want you to run every single test you would run on whoever is trying to figure out if they have ADHD. I don't care how many tests it is. And I don't care how many days it takes. I don't care how much it costs. I want to definitively know, yes or no, do I or do I not have ADHD? She said, okay, well, we're going to need like to interview your mom. We're going to need like information about your childhood. I'm like, I have every single report card. I have every single test. She's like, all right, well, definitely bring those. She said, send me everything you have and I'll see. So I sent her everything I had. She said, all right, I will see you on this date. So I'm sitting in the parking lot, ready to go in. And I'm looking through my childhood scrapbook, because you guys know I have one. There's not a photo in our house that is not scrapbooked other than Grayson's, my grandson's, and those will be done soon. So I have every single report card, and I'm reading through these report cards that say, like, Lisa's a joy to have in class, but she talks a little bit too much. And she needs a lot of comments about she needs to be more careful. She needs to pay more attention to detail. She needs to work on her spelling. She needs to look over work before she turns it in for careless errors, like over and over and over again about that. Also in there, just so happened, I had an IQ test. I don't even remember that from when I was 7. My IQ is average, a little bit above average, but not like, I'm not Einstein or anything, just an average IQ. So it's not low IQ. But a lot of papers that I kept in there all the way to 4th, 5th, 6th grade, I mean, the spelling errors are just like, so obvious. Like my spelling, just, I could see why the teachers were pointing it out. And my letter reversals all the way through 3rd, 4th grade, which actually I found out is normal. It's actually very normal for kids to have letter reversals. So we'll get to dyslexia in this conversation. So I walked in and I met with the psychologist and I brought in all my work and we just caught up on life and kids and stuff like that. And then she said, okay, so I've taken a look at everything that you sent in. And she said, let's talk about the dyslexia. She said, I don't think you have dyslexia. And when I was walking in, because I just looked at all these childhood papers, I was like, look, all these words are backwards and all these words are spelled wrong. And I've never been very good at spelling. And she said, okay, let me give you the dyslexia test. Let me give you the spelling test. And they were like these nonsensical words that you had to phonetically say the word, even though they weren't an actual word. You had to listen to a word and then you had to repeat a certain sound in the word. You had to listen to a word and then you had to delete an ending and then you had to do a spelling test. And I passed them all. And I was like, I can't believe I passed this because I was diagnosed with dyslexia. So we had a conversation about that. And I mentioned, I said, oh yeah, you know, my mom was always frustrated because I was taught whole language and I was not taught phonics as a kid. She goes, that'll do it right there. She goes, then how can you spell now? Like, why can you spell now? I'm like, well, E's and I's, like, they could just float around anywhere they want in words. It doesn't really matter. I said, but everything else I learned because when I was in college to be a teacher, I had to learn phonics. And then I actually taught kids to read for years. She said, you were a teacher and you taught kids to read? I said, yeah. She goes, you corrected your dyslexia. You were identified with dyslexia because you didn't understand phonics. And then once you learned phonics, you corrected your own dyslexia. And I was like, what? And then some of you on Instagram DM'd me and you were like, yeah, this is something you could do. You could definitely correct it. I also had heard from someone there were 600 kinds of dyslexia. She's like, where did you hear that? I was like, I don't know. She's like, that is not true either. Stop saying that. I'm like, okay, so if you heard me say that before, that is not true either. Stop saying that. Okay, so we ruled out the dyslexia, which kind of makes sense because, I mean, I'm not a good speller. I've never been a good speller. And I learned phonics so late that also, can we just agree that the English language doesn't understand phonics? Like the I before E, except after C, and then and whatever the rest of that poem is, like, it just makes no sense. It's just way too much thinking for me. So then we went through my history. So we went through my report cards and she was laughing and she was looking and she's like, Lisa, these report cards are good. And I'm like, yes, but I have this floating C. So it was in science and then it was never in math. It was science, it was in history, it was in English. And she said, yeah, that might have been, you know, not knowing phonics or whatever. She said, I think it's inattention to detail. I think all of this is inattention to detail. So she had mailed me a behavior rating scale for when I was a child, what I remember, and then also one for my mother. She said, your mother thinks you're a perfect child. I was like, okay, I wasn't. I mean, I was pretty good. Like, I was not a behavior problem at all, but also not perfect. And she's like, yeah, well, on a scale of 0 to 3 exhibiting any of these behaviors, every single one was a 0. So your mother thinks you're perfect. So if you're hoping that your parents will help you out in this, they don't necessarily... does she talk a lot? It was like, no, she doesn't. No. I mean, I remember my mom saying to me, what are you doing? Writing a book? Like, how many questions could you possibly have? I was a chatty Kathy. So the psychologist said, you know, it's really hard to tell. It's really hard to tell if you would have qualified for ADHD as a child. And so I go back to the ADHD online test, and I'm going to go back to what I think I mentioned in an earlier podcast. These diagnoses, ADHD, autism, you know, a lot of these diagnoses, under the medical definition, must have been present before a certain age. And for ADHD, the symptoms must have been present before the age of 12. So if you are not a child that would have been diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 12, then you can't be diagnosed at the age of 40. Like, you can't have just sailed through childhood and then all of a sudden you develop ADHD. It like was something that you had as a child. The symptoms have to have been present for a duration of 6 months or longer. You need to have had six or more symptoms of inattention, six or more symptoms of hyperactivity. They must be present in two or more social situations. And it needs to be clear that the symptoms interfered with daily function. And that is the part that sometimes trips up, especially girls or kids who are well-behaved over kids that have challenges with behavior. Now, little sidebar on this. I remember going to a psychologist when my kids were little, having temper tantrums in the office. And I remember the psychologist said this to me, and I just said this to someone else recently. She said, when children are acting out behaviorally, they are trying to tell you something. Children do not desire to have people in authority and parents frustrated and angry with them. So if a child is acting out, they are trying to tell you something is going on. And having kids that definitely acted out, that is helpful to hear, because I think people who have ADHD that were not diagnosed as children that later get diagnosed as adults probably did not have a behavior that caused an awareness for the adults in their environment to look deeper as to if something else was going on. So if you, like me, were not a behavior problem in any way, shape, or form, then the thought is, well, then there must not have been anything there. And that is not true. But I also know that if you or someone else in your family is acting out in any way, often they are trying to get their needs met and they're trying to express themselves. So I would say, like, clear evidence that symptoms are interfering with daily function as far as a behavior problem, I was not. But it's definitely evident that if inattention is part of ADHD and I had ADHD, which we don't know yet or not, it definitely was interfering with my schooling. Like, I had this floating C. I had these spelling errors. I was not following directions correctly because I would skim over things. So if I do have ADHD, then it was interfering with my daily function. It just wasn't interfering with my daily function to the point that I was in the principal's office every day or I was failing out of school. I just was not achieving what I knew I was capable of and my parents knew I was capable of because of this lack of attention, which we had eventually called dyslexia. So the next thing that we talked about was, how can you really, you know, the psychologist said, look, if this is it, like what we have just gone over is it, she said, I don't know if I would say that you have ADHD. She said, but there are two things that you told me about that told me that, yes, you definitely are someone who has ADHD. And she said, the first one was the speeding tickets. So I do not drive slowly. I've never driven slowly. I had way too many tickets and accidents when I was learning to drive. And, you know, everybody gets an fender bender. Not true. Not everybody does. In my family, everyone does. A fender bender and a couple of speeding tickets. No, yeah. I definitely like to get places quickly, not necessarily looking around at the surroundings around me when I'm ready to get there. And she said, that is kind of a tip off that maybe there's some ADHD there. And she said, how are you with money? And I just started laughing. And you guys know I've talked about Dave Ramsey and this whole idea of getting completely debt-free. I will tell you, we were completely consumer debt-free when I started doing my acrylic nails, which you see I have all the time, because that was a goal. I really wanted to have acrylic nails. I have the pink and white. I love them. But I would not let myself get those until we had no consumer debt. And the day we had no consumer debt, I got my pink and white nails. We're consumer debt-free for, like, I don't know, 6 months. And now we're not. And so I said to her, I said, oh, yeah. So, you know, we always have some consumer debt because I like Amazon. I like books. I like to buy things. And then when the debt gets to a certain amount, then Craig starts to say, okay, you know, we're hitting the threshold here. We can't have this threshold. I said, then I usually sell some things and then I go make more money. So I'll join another direct sales company or I'll go do whatever. And I would go and I would curb my spending and I would sell some stuff and I would bring it back into the debt ratio that Greg was comfortable with. And then I would go on with my merry way. She goes, ding, 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 winner, winner, you definitely have ADHD. And I was just laughing. I was like, oh my gosh, that is just such a great example of you probably didn't know either of those things about me. And you probably listened to 500 podcast episodes, which tells you there's still more I have to share with you. I think as an adult, a couple of things. Here's what I think. I think number one, being a kid is ridiculously hard. Can I just say it for everybody? You don't want to go back and relive your childhood. Children are having a hard time living their childhood. Like, I had a great childhood. I mean, like, I had a really good childhood. But being a kid in general is super, super difficult because the expectation is that all kids are going to hit certain milestones at the same time, which never happens, by the way. In a classroom of 25 kids, you'll have like three kids that are hitting that milestone when you want them to hit it. Everyone else is either before or after that curve. Like, it's just bonkers that this is how we do anything related to children. So you're always ahead or behind of whatever the average is or whenever you're supposed to hit these milestones, all the milestones, crawling, walking, spelling, talking, all of them. And then when you're in a classroom, equally, I have a hard time wrapping my head around this because I don't know how you wouldn't do it this way, but also I know this probably isn't the way to do it. So like I was always great at math, always really good at math. I know I use Lisa math, but and that's, by the way, where Lisa math came from. Lisa math is when Lisa has spent too much money and then she figures out how to change the math so that Greg now sees new math. That is Lisa math. It's always worked so far. I'm 50. It's a thing. Always been really good at math, spatial, big picture, talking, auditory, understanding, like learning through listening. These are all things that I'm really good at. Horrible at spelling. I don't even understand the grammar rules anymore. I learned them at one point. I totally have forgotten them. When people are like, to use an Oxford comma or a regular comma? I'm like, I put commas in wherever I would take a breath or I think it looks good on the page or Grammarly tells me I probably need one. Also, Grammarly likes to put hyphens in everything. I don't know why they do that. But anyways, I don't know any of it. The very first person I ever hired in Organized 365, 18 months in on the blog, was an editor. The fact that Pat was my very first employee is not an accident. Like, I hired an executive assistant first because there were way too many details for me to keep track of. And that's what I said to the psychologist. I said, you see a successful person today because I've hired out all of my weaknesses. Like, I hired editors, executives, people that are good in operations, like everything that I'm weak at, I hire. And then now my team takes on all the things where I'm weak so I can do what I'm uniquely gifted and created to do, which is see assimilations, talk about them, research, draw comparisons, motivate and inspire people to achieve the transformation of living an organized and productive life. And continuing to research and analyze, how did I get where I am today? Where are people getting stuck? How can I make it easier and quicker for them to achieve this transformation? When will they get stuck again? And how can we get them unstuck proactively? And then the team takes care of the rest. And everyone on the team is also working in their unique gifting. And so they're working quicker and more efficiently in what they're doing as well. So we are collectively moving the Organized 365 mission, vision, and values forward together. Even though I'm the one that initially started them, I say it all the time, I could never grow Organized 365 or do what Organized 365 is doing today without the team, because I am limited in all of these things. So when you are an adult and you figure out what you are uniquely gifted and created to do, the magic is you don't have to do all of the other stuff, right? But when you're a kid, you're supposed to be well-rounded and get all of these experiences. It's exhausting. You're not good at all of them. And like I said, you need to do it because you need to figure out. You would never know if you're going to be good at something if you don't try. So I love that kids have to try all kinds of things. But also, like, when my kids didn't learn math facts by the time we were in sixth grade, I was like, the ship has sailed, people. They're never going to memorize these math facts. Also, newsflash, they carry around a computer and a phone in their pocket. So how about they just whip that bad boy out and do 7 times 9? Because they don't know it's 63. They're never going to know it's 63. So, you know, then they're singing a song in their head or they're counting their knuckles. I'm like, this is not productive for a sixth grader. Like, we need to write this into the IEP and move along with our lives. The golden window for learning your math facts has sailed, and we need them to be moving on to higher level thinking and not stuck in the spitting out the facts that a phone will do for you now. And that's where the rub is between being a kid and being adult. And I think sometimes as an adult, we get stuck in that kid mentality of, well, I should be good at everything, but I should know how everything works. But it's in my house, so it's under my domain, so I have to do all the things. No, you don't. No, you don't. Just because you are a certain sex in the house, you're the woman, you should know where everything is. No. I mean, no. No, we have to really think about, as an adult, what is your unique gifting? What are you best at? What is the best contribution you make to society, you make to your family, and reevaluate everything? Like, we were just looking at the Organize 365 website. Hopefully it'll be redone by the time you look at this. But I always look at it, I'm like, okay, so what should we have under the Programs tab? What should we have under the Shop tab? And Virginia was like, what if the Programs tab was a button and it wasn't a dropdown? And what if the Shop was a dropdown? I was like, my brain exploded. She said, if you were doing the website all over today and you're starting from scratch, how would you design it? And I do that a lot in Organize 365. I do that a lot at home. I can't wait till next week's podcast when I tell you about what I'm going to be doing with all this information. Oh, it's so exciting. And all I've been doing the last 4 weeks is trying to figure out, how am I going to do what I'm going to tell you next week? Like, how am I going to actually make it fit in the life that I have today? What do I have to let go of? What do I want to keep in order to go after this new goal and dream? So I have been diagnosed with ADHD. I officially have 7 out of 9 of the hyper symptoms and 4 out of 6 of the attention symptoms. So I'm ADHD. I am all of the things. How, Lisa, are you hyper? So when I think back to being a child, my legs are always crossed and my one leg was always, like, you know, swinging like I was ticking a clock or something, or like the world had to spin on the amount that I would swing my leg, or I would sit up under my legs, or I would draw pictures, or I would cross stitch, or I would do puzzles. Like, I was always moving some part of my body. Like, I could just not sit like a statue. Like, it was impossible for me. So I don't see you doing that today, Lisa. Like, people will say, I don't see you doing that today, Lisa. Two things. One, almost every single meeting I'm in, I am leading. And if I am leading, then I am taking notes and moving down the list. And so that activity has me moving the pace of the meeting. And so I don't get any stopping of my momentum. If I'm not leading the meeting, which is almost never, here's the little secret. And if any of you have been in my meetings, you will now be like, I've seen her do that. I will literally chew like a pack of gum during that meeting. I will, like, sneak a piece of gum into my mouth. I'll chew it like 4 or 5 times. I'll spit it out, sneak another piece of gum in my mouth. And it's just this constant, like, I go through a whole pack of gum. I don't know what to tell you about it, but I do. Like, normally I don't chew gum at all. And then during a meeting, like, I just have to have my mouth's moving, my hands moving, like, everything is moving. So I definitely am moving. And then I've just learned, and this is stuff that you could do as an adult that you can't do otherwise, I have just learned that I don't even attend. If I don't have to attend a meeting or a webinar live, I do not. And I watch the replay sped up 2 or 3x. And then, because the speeding up of it keeps me interested, and I will consume all of it. But if you make me watch it real time, like, my mind will start to wander. And that's the other thing. My mind never wanders. I'm going to be doing a podcast about how I'm always present all the time. And I think it is because I have sped up any of these times that would not be at the speed I want to listen to them to. And I write everything down on index cards, so I'm not worried about things that I might forget later. So that's the answer. I definitely do have ADHD, but I said to the psychologist, I was like, okay, well, I don't feel like I need medication or anything. She said, oh, glad you brought that up. You may not take stimulants. I was like, excuse me? And she said, yes, you told me that you take migraines. So you take migraine medication? I'm like, oh, yeah, I have like 6 to 9 a month. I'm down to like 5 to 6, but sometimes it's 9. She's like, no stimulants if you take migraine medication. I take Imitrex. So just a little bit of news out there for you. If you are ADHD or you think you are ADHD and you have migraines and you take any of these medications that are like I do, Imitrex, the two drugs do not play well together. All right, I have coming up next week a really big personal announcement about where I am going forward in my own personal growth and development in 2023, how that is going to play into Organize 365, how you can be a part of it, and all the changes that I'm making the rest of this year in order to make room for this really big new life change coming next week.